Blog Talk Radio.
I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright, so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy!" The angel, oh, met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. Oh, the sights I saw. Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. I bow my knees and cry, as I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones, they knew me well. They took me down the streets of hell. I talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, Timothy,
afternoon. I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. This is Nathan on the Spot. We have a little technical difficulty tonight. The person that's supposed to be coming on is going to have someone else coming on. And we are waiting for them to show up. In the meantime, I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to greet y'all one more time, and then I'm going to play one more song. And if they're not there, then I'll come back, and we'll be back again next week. Because I don't want to hold up anybody tonight. They might have something else to do. Let me find a good song that we could play. And by that time, maybe we'll have our guest speaker for the night. Oh, this is a good one. I feel it going on. Exactly how I feel. Okay, let me get it playing. Hello? Yeah. Oh, I'm telling him I'm going to play one more song. Back to him. I got a 6-minute song on. Okay, you gonna call in? Okay. Okay. Oh, we can just do it next week now. If you don't, we can just do it next week. Okay. Okay, take your time. I don't want to rush it now. Just take your time.
Go!
Hey, man. Go ahead, brother.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Are we on air, brother?
Yes, we live.
We're live? That's wonderful. I love to be live. Well, thank you, brother. Have you heard from Brother Raymond?
No, I ain't heard from Brother Raymond yet.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, brother. I want to welcome everybody to the Sound Doctrine broadcast. This is Dr. Ventura. We're coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California. I want to thank Nathan Hill. He's our sound man. He's our control man. He's our all-to-go-to guy, brother Christian, brother, wonderful brother. And if it wasn't for Brother Nathan, we couldn't get to you live. And so I want to thank the listeners for listening from around the world, not just in the United States of America, from around the world. I want to thank you for your emails, your texts, your written letters, and we hope that you enjoy tonight's broadcast. And we're very happy to have you here, and I'm grateful for all your prayers and wonderful blessings we've received, and we've had quite a time here ourselves out here in California. I don't know if you know about homes. But we have homes in California are generally built on slabs, and they don't have a foundation. They don't build basements. And so when you have a pipe or a leak problem, it's in the slab, and they have to chop up your whole house. And so we have, you know, Lord's blessed us with a beautiful home, and you wouldn't think so if you walked inside on the bottom, but it's still a beautiful home to us. But it's pretty torn up, and we've had plumbers and contractors and insurance companies out here. So I ask you all to... my listening audience, please keep us in your prayers because we certainly need them. We're having a quite a time here. But I do thank you for listening in, and I hope you'll be able to enjoy the program tonight. I'll give you the text that we're going to start at before we have a prayer and get started. If you want to turn with me, and I hope you brought a Bible because there's no sense in coming to the Sound Doctrine broadcast without a Bible. You need Sound Doctrine. So you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew. And we'll go to the Gospel of Matthew, and there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you're not familiar with your Bible. And if you'll go to Matthew chapter 11, and we get to chapter 11 here, I'm getting there myself. And Matthew chapter 11, we're going to read together verses 28 to 30. Before we do that, we should have a prayer. So if my listening audience would just bow your heads and will humbly come before the Almighty God, the creator of this universe. Holy Father, we bow down before you and thank you tonight for this program, for Nathan, for our listening audience, and those, Lord, who are just looking for a place to find sound doctrine. And Lord, bring them to this spot tonight. They could hear sound doctrine. And I thank you, God, for all the blessings you've given us in this radio program and the opportunity to reach out and touch hearts and minds. And tonight, God, that you would just open people's spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, because this thy people have come out to hear your word tonight, Father. Set me aside and let me just preach what you've given me, Lord. And I thank you, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of God, is what we say on Sunday mornings at the Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach, California. And it is good. We're in the most southwest city in the state, and we're way down near the Tijuana border. But we're coming to you live, right? Isn't that great? God made it possible. Let's look at our text. And our text is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And he says, he clearly said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Amen. Amen. You know, if you look up there in verse 28, the Lord says, "Come unto me," and that's the call of salvation. Like Peter stepped out of the boat, he said, "Lord, let me come to you." The Lord said, "Come." And he calls all believers, "Come." And all non-believers, "Come." The Lord wants you to come to him. And he says in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Isn't that our lives today in America and around the world? We're so heavy laden with work and responsibilities, and everybody's got bills and car bills, and some people are on the verge of bankruptcy, and the terrible things going on in the world, in Paris, and even here in San Bernardino, California, just about an hour or so away from me, and just terrible things going on in the world. And our hearts are burdened throughout the world over these things as we watch these events unfold. But really, to the Christian, we shouldn't be very surprised, because, you know, the truth is it's all prophesied. The Lord Jesus Christ is at the door. It won't be long now. Timothy said so. He said that we should look for that blessed hope in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we should have joy to know that, hey, no matter what happens, Jesus Christ is taking care of things. But here tonight, the name of this sermon is "The Invitation is Clear." The invitation is clear. And you know what a yoke is? Because some people really don't know what a yoke is. They don't use yokes very often anymore. But back sometime when they did farming, they would have a plow, and the plow would hook up to oxen. And the two oxen would stand side by side in a metal frame. And each oxen had its own place to put its neck through. And so it kind of looked like a bee turned upside down. Turned facing down with the round part of the bee facing the ground. And so that's what you would have, and you have two oxen in there, and they would plow, and they would dig up the dirt behind them. They'd pull that plow, and they'd do a field with an oxen. I think you find out that Elijah had 12 oxen he was plowing with. So there was sometimes it was more than one. But here you have the Lord, and he says, "Come on to me." And so I'm going to ask my listening audience tonight, I have a question to ask you. Are you burdened with labor and heavy laden? Then you need to call upon Jesus Christ. My brethren, this invitation is clear. Come on to me. Jesus Christ, is he talking to you now, right here in your heart? He's saying, "Come, come on to me." Do you know in Revelations chapter 3, verse 20, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Behold, behold, look," he says, "look, behold, pay attention, behold, I stand at the door and knock." Yeah, Jesus Christ is knocking. "And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." You know, when he says he'll sup with you, he's talking about a future thing. He's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? The marriage supper of the Lamb. But he'll sup with you now. And the reason why Jesus used that particular phrase to say if any man opened the door, he'd come in and sup with you, is because eating dinner with somebody is an intimate relation. It's an intimate relation. When two people are together and they sit down to have dinner, or a family, it's an intimate time. It's a joyful time. It should be. It's a time of conversation and a time to forget the world and enjoy the taste of the food and those things. And so what Jesus is really saying in this verse is, come on to me and I will sup with you. I'll have that personal relationship with you. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus Christ. We don't have an impersonal God. We don't have some pie in the sky, amen? I mean, we got the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? He came to this earth as a man. I tell people so often, listen, if you wanted to relate to an ant, how can you give instruction to an ant? You can't. So you would have to become an ant to give instruction to him. And God Almighty sent his son Jesus Christ in the form of a man so that he could have a relationship with a man, that he could explain things to men, that he could talk to men. What a mighty God we serve. And now, today, right now, in the month of December, in the year of 2015, right at this very hour, in 20 after 6 over here in the West Coast and 20 after 9 out there on the East Coast, Jesus Christ is saying to you, come on. Are you laden with burden? Is your heart heavy? Are you oppressed? Do the cares of the world, are they bearing down on you? Listen, it's Thursday night, and I know you went to church Sunday, and I know you went to Bible study Sunday, and I know you might have gone to lady class Monday, and you might have gone to general Bible study and worship on Wednesday, but today is Thursday, and I know that the world got on you during the week. You heard the language of the world. You saw the violence of the world. You've got the smells of the world, and the world has gotten on you, and you need to be cleansed. You need to be cleansed because if you're walking a Christ-like walk, you feel dirty. You feel the world on you, and you want to get that world off of you. And Jesus Christ says, come on, if you're heavy laden, come on to me. You don't have to carry this load alone. My yoke is easy. In other words, Jesus, instead of two oxen pulling side by side, Jesus Christ is going to put his head in one of those, and you're going to put your head in the other, and he's going to help you. And when you start getting weak, he's going to keep pulling for you, and you're going to pull along, and Jesus Christ is going to carry you. You remember the old thing there, they have that the footsteps in the sand, and the poem that goes with it, and how there's only one set of footprints because Jesus Christ was carrying the other person. He told him, look back. Well, that's what Jesus wants to do for you, my listening audience, tonight. Jesus Christ wants to help you. He wants to lift the burden of your heart. He wants you to have joy in his heart. You know, Nehemiah says that joy comes from reading the Word of God, amen? Too many people are having trouble in their life, and they're trying to solve their problems without God. And we don't have to do that. When God sent Joshua into Jericho to have that battle, he already had the victory. He told him only be of good courage and be strong. Go. The Lord already has the victory. And my Christian brother, Jesus Christ, has secured the victory for you 2,000 years ago. You just have to claim that victory. You just need to go out there and stand on your faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got this all under control. Listen, the world's going crazy, but Jesus Christ hasn't gone crazy. The Bible says Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, King of Kings, says the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we don't have to worry about the Word of God changing? That we know my boss may change. The world may change, the laws may change, my family may change, and when I say change, I mean behave differently. Well, Jesus said that he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Well, why did he care about yesterday? Because he wants you to know that he hasn't changed since yesterday, and he's not going to change when tomorrow comes. He's going to be the same Jesus Christ, and he's saying to you tonight, my brother, come unto me, ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and take my yoke upon you. And I, he's saying, I will help you. My yoke is easy. Listen, if you look at the verses as we're reading here, he says, come unto me, all ye. This isn't exclusive to only person who's saved. If you're unsaved, you too need to come to Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, how do you learn of him? Well, you learn of him by going to a sound doctrine church, a King James Version church, where they use a sound doctrine Bible and not some man-made a fantasy that they call a Bible. And then you find out that he's meek and lowly in heart. Listen, Moses was a killer. Moses killed an Egyptian for his people. And then Moses led armies. And do you know that the Bible says that Moses was the meekest man in the world? Lowly in heart? The Lord, he loves you. He's pitiful. He's caring. And he loves you. He says, take my yoke upon you. Hey, you don't have to carry this burden alone. Come on, I'll help you plow the fields of life. the Bible proverb says, no man's fit for the kingdom of God who puts his hand to the plow and looks backwards. But why? Because if you're looking at your past sins, if you're looking at your past mistakes, if you're looking at your past, even your past good deeds and the wonderful things that God's blessed you with in the past, if you're looking back, you're going to crash into something going forward. No man's fit for the kingdom of God who puts his hand to the plow and looks backwards. My brother, we're not supposed to look backwards. Forget the sins of the past. If you confess them, they're under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God that if we shall confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, 1 John. Amen. Listen, that's a promise from God. If you just get on your knees and say, God, I've been a sinner. I've had wrong thoughts. I've had wrong language. I took pleasure in thinking back on my old sins, and it turned me on. I liked the things I had pleasure in when they were sinful in my sinful life, even before I was saved. God, forgive me for those thoughts. Forgive me for the lust of the flesh I've had. Forgive me for the lust of the eyes that I have. Forgive me for my pride of life, and Lord, accept my humbleness now. And God's going to forgive you, my brethren. That's a promise. If you confess your sins, he's faithful, and he's just to forgive you your sins. And when I say faithful, I'm not talking about the kind of faith where you sit in a chair and you think that chair is going to hold you up, but you're really never sure. I'm talking about the kind of faith where Jesus is going to be there. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Listen, truth is truth. Amen? And the first element of truth, the first principle of truth is be cannot not be. A rose cannot not be a rose. God does not contradict himself. And I've heard the stories of many preachers saying, well, it seems the Word of God says this, and it seems Jesus is saying that. Hey, listen, if you don't know what Jesus is saying, quit preaching, preacher. I know you're out there listening. You ought to quit preaching because you have no idea what you're talking about. It seems. Listen, if you can't preach what you know and you don't know what the Word says, you shouldn't even be preaching. There's too many spineless preachers out there today that are afraid to call sin sin and name it as is. They're afraid they're going to lose the money in the church and the people are going to leave and how they're going to support all the programs. Hey, listen, forget the programs. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach the Word and its truth. Know what you're supposed to believe. And if you don't know what you believe and it seems like it, then you ought to see yourself back to on your knees and get in your crib and start drinking that milk all over again, that Christian milk. Amen. Now, my brethren, it's the truth. You say, oh, hey, preacher, you're hard on preachers. Hey, listen, I'm hard on everybody. There's no time to be fooling around here. The time is close. Jesus Christ is returning. Souls are falling off the earth by the millions every day. People are dying and going to hell. And you know why? Because my own Christian brothers aren't even telling them about it. They won't even tell them that Jesus Christ could save their soul. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And when we get before the white throne judgment and those people are judged, the fingers of condemnation are going to be pointing at you. They're going to say, you knew. You went to work with me every day. You had coffee with me every morning. I drove you to work. You never even told me about Jesus. I'm going to hell because you didn't tell me. And you're going to go to heaven. What a shame. Lord, have mercy. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Oh, how we desire rest. You know, some of us are so busy from morning till night. I pastor a church. I teach a Bible institute. I teach a Bible study. I have a family. And I'm telling you, my brethren, some days I get up to that bed and I crawl in that bed and thank God I'm looking for the rest for my body. Well, listen, Jesus wants to give you rest for your body, rest for your soul, rest for your spirit, and rest for your mind. And that's found in the peace of God. And there's two kinds of peace with God. There's the peace of God, and there's peace with God. And if you're an unsaved man and you're living in sin and you haven't received Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the book of Romans says you are an enemy of God. I hear this nonsense, so we're all children of God. Hey, listen, that's not what the Bible says. That's something somebody made up. We're not all children of God. We're all creations of God. But those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And you don't receive the Holy Spirit of God until you get saved. And you can't understand your Bible in its fullest context until you get saved. Amen? And so the Lord's telling you tonight, come on to me. Come on, unsaved sinner. I'm gonna receive you. Come on. He wants to receive you. His yoke is easy. you'll find rest unto your soul. He says, and my burden is light. Well, why would Jesus tell you his burden's light? My goodness, the Lord Jesus Christ is carrying the burden of the world, the prayers. Imagine the millions of prayers that go out second after second for help, and God takes care of them all. Didn't he tell you Jesus said that God takes care of the sparrows, the birds. They're worth more than an animal. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. My goodness, our God's not so big that he's too busy. My God is so big, and he's so big that he knows everything. He knows how many atoms it takes to make this universe. He knows how many particles. He knows the distance between them all. The Bible says he tells all the stars. You know what that means? Listen, when you go to a bank, you go to a teller. What does a teller do? A teller counts. Lord, the Bible says God tells all the stars. He knows them all, how many there are. Don't you think he knows who you are, my brethren, when you call upon him? Why are you walking around with your head down? Why are you carrying this burden by yourself? Because you choose to. You choose to carry a burden that God has already lifted, and you keep picking it up. It's like if you had an old car in the garage, maybe an old Chevy or Buick or something, and it's sitting in the garage and it's all rusty, and then your parents came along, or a friend, or you won, maybe somehow it was a door prize. You walked to a door in a restaurant and say, hey, you win, you're a 50th customer, and they gave you a brand new Cadillac, and you pull that brand new Cadillac in the garage right next to that old Chevy. Well, you know what my brethren do? They keep driving that old Chevy. Why don't you drive that new Cadillac? God, of course, that any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. All things are passed away, and all things become new, 1 Corinthians. Amen? Hey, I got to tell you something, brother. You don't need to be driving that old Chevy. Put that car away. Throw them keys out. That old man's dead. Live the new life in the victory of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will lead and guide you, and he will protect you, he will bless you, and everything that's going on in your life will work to the glory of God, because it's all going to work that way anyway, brethren. And most of the stuff we're going through in our lives, we act like it's the end of the world. Oh, listen, it's not the end of the world. The end of the world for a Christian is infinity. There is no end of the world. Amen? Amen? Listen, I met a guy the other day. They said to me, well, you know, how do you even know what's heaven really like? And I heard a preacher, an old Texas preacher, he'd been preaching about 50 years. And he said Sunday that he was preaching to the congregation. I happened to be there. And a doctor was telling him a story about a fellow who was sick in bed and he was dying. And he said to that doctor, he said, doctor, I know you're a Christian and I'm a Christian. Well, what's heaven like? And he said, I don't know. He told that man in the sick bed, he said, I don't know. And just then, the doctor's dog came blasting through the door and ran up to the doctor, and he pat him on the head, and the dog was so happy to see him. And he said, you know what? To the guy in the bed, the doctor said to the guy in the bed, he said, you know what? He said, you see this dog? He said, this dog has never been in this room before. He's never seen this room. He didn't know what was in here. And he came through that door, and he ran right up to me. All that dog knew was the master was there. And if the master's there, everything's going to be okay. And so don't worry about what's up in heaven. You worry about finding the master. Follow the master. Keep your eyes on the prize, my brother. You get through that door up there in heaven, you'll know where you are. You'll find peace and grace and no more sin up there. Amen. Hey, life's problems are done down here once you're up there. But thank God that we don't have to walk this world alone. And God is there. The master is waiting for us. Amen? And we don't use that word master too often, because we think in America, you know, we think, oh, you know, you say master, you're talking like a slave master. Hey, listen, Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is a master. And what he's saying, he is the King of kings. Listen, everything that's going on in this world will compare nothing to what's waiting for us in eternity. Nothing up above is going to change it. Nothing below is going to change it. Amen. Jesus Christ is above all things, and his name is above all names. And it doesn't matter whether you believe that or not. It's the truth, and the truth doesn't have to apologize for itself. A fact doesn't have to apologize for itself. Jesus Christ's name is above Muhammad. Jesus Christ's name is above Buddha. Jesus Christ's name is above Joseph Smith. Jesus Christ's name is above poverty. Jesus Christ's name is above. Christ's name is above terrorism. Jesus Christ's name is above all names, because he is the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. King of kings. And you don't even know who you are, child of God. My goodness, don't you know if you're a saved man, you are a child of God, and that makes you a prince because your father is a king? Amen. Your God Almighty is the King of kings, the Lord of hosts. My goodness, stand up, praise the Lord, lift your heavenly hands up, thank you, God. My father owns it, and I've got a promise, and in heaven nothing's going to rot what God's got for me. Nobody's going to steal it. Nobody's going to corrupt it. It's not going to rust, the Bible says. James says moth and rust will not corrupt the rewards we have in heaven. And hallelujah, we're going to the place. Amen. We're going to heaven. When we get to heaven, we ain't worried about what's going on down here. This is nothing. We're only here for a wisp of time. Job says, like a spark. You ever go to a campfire and see that spark? Well, that's what our lives are like. Hey, listen, if you're over 50 years old, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You look back on your life, it seemed like yesterday. Oh, there was a little time in between, but it seems like yesterday. It was only yesterday I was 20. It was only yesterday I was 15. Well, I remember grammar school. It seems like it was just a moment away. Where is life gone? Hey, this life here, we're only here for one purpose, and that's to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify God, and let the world know that our King lives, because our real life and our future life is all in Jesus Christ. We've got all eternity. You people are caught up on the finite world. You're caught up on the dirty, nasty now and now. You spend more time worrying about what's going on in this world and what's going on television and what programs and DVDs and sports and all that nonsense. Well, you should be concentrating on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of you children, every one of you child of God, my brother, I want you to know something. Every one of you have a gift from God. And what you need to do is find out what your gift is and what place you take in the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And we are the body, and a body has many parts. And if the parts aren't in the right place, the body doesn't work right. And if you've been running away from a church because your pastor's been asking you to do something, you need to go before the throne of God. Come boldly before the throne of God, as Hebrews says. And you need to get on your knees and say, God, give me the grace to do what my pastor's asking me to do in service to this church. And Father, give me the grace to act upon the gifts in which you have given me. Amen. If God's called you to be an evangelist, don't stand around. Get out there winning souls. God's going to bless that thing. Amen. If God's called you to be a preacher, get out there and preach. If God's called you to be a pew warmer, you get in that church and warm that pew up the best you can. Amen. That's what you do. Hey, listen, we've all got gifts. If your gifts are government, gifts are help, hey, God's got a plan for your life, my friend. The first plan is be ye holy, for I'm holy. God wants a holy children, and he wants you to be holy because he's holy. You are a peculiar person, and you are peculiar because you're different from the world. You're not weird. You're not some stranger. You're different from the world. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Listen, we have neighbors. You are not your neighbor's child. You are your mother and father's child. When you grew up in your house, you grew up in your house. You did not grow up like the people next door. You are not the people next door, and you are not of this world, because we live next door, because our home is in heaven, and this world is next door. I am not like the people of this world. I will not be like the people of this world, and you should not be like the people of this world. You should look like a Christian. You should smell like a Christian. You should speak like a Christian. You should talk like a Christian. And God Almighty is going to honor that and glorify his name and his son through your testimony. Amen. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you and I get to heaven and God says, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be good? But I'll tell you what's even better. Abraham was called a friend of God. Imagine that, a friend of God. Wouldn't it be nice for you to walk into heaven through the gates of heaven and God look over and say, here comes my friend Joe. Here comes my friend Ray. Here comes my friend Marilyn. Here comes my friend Scott. Here comes my friend Angelica. Here comes my friend Nicole. Here comes my friend Fred. Here comes my friend Rhonda. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing out there if God said you were his friend? People today don't know what a friend is. Most people don't even have friends. And those that do, they have teenagers today have more friends on the computer and adults than they do in real life, and they're make-believe friends. They're in some game. Lord have mercy. What are you thinking? Listen, Jesus loves you. Come out to me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and God's going to heal you. He's going to heal you mentally. He's going to heal you emotionally. He's going to heal you spiritually. Amen? I want you to know something. Let me give you this testimony. My brain was so fried from alcohol and drugs, my short-term memory was so far gone that I could not remember yesterday, but I could tell you anything about the day before. That's right. That's how bad my brain was. And God healed this boy's brain. And God got my mind right. And you know why? Because I submitted to my Lord. I submitted to my pastor. I behaved and believed and was led by men of God. Followed what the men of God said, and they led me to the Word of God, and the Word of God got in my heart, and I got right. Hallelujah. And you can do it too. Listen, stop thinking that that pastor up there is somebody who's more holier than you. He's not more holier than you. He just has more authority than you in the church because that's the position God's put him on. You're supposed to be as holy as that pastor. Every day, 7 days a week. You don't get up in the morning. Listen, if you get up in the morning, there's some mornings I get up and I say, you know, Lord, I don't feel like doing what I got to do today. In fact, I'd rather be doing something else. So you need to help me, God. Give me the grace, give me the strength, give me the will to do your will today, and I will do it, Lord. Help me to stay on that path. Give me the courage to do the things I have to do. And you know what? God doesn't fail you. If you're sincere in your heart, God's going to lift you up. He said he would make you the head and not the tail. Listen, I'm not some charismatic preacher. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that God will make you the head and not the tail. I'm tired of being the tail. And I've come to my Lord, and he's made me the head. And he'll make you the head. And I'm not talking about head of the church. God doesn't want you to be the tail. You're a child of God. Rise up for the Lord. Everybody's got rights in this world. God has no rights. They didn't have no rights in the school when they took the Bible out. No rights when they legalized abortion. They're taking God's rights away. Taking the Ten Commandments out of courts. Crosses down from public places. What's going on? Well, where's God's rights? If you want to be angry, don't be angry about these Muslims. You better be angry about the way they're treating God in this country. Because that's what got this country into trouble. This country turned back on God. And all evil needs to prevail, my friends, in the world, my brethren. You listen to me, young or old, boy or girl. Not just talking to adults here. I want you to know something. All evil needs to prevail in this world is for good men to be quiet and not to stand up for what's right. And you'll answer for that just as though you sinned anywhere else and haven't confessed it. If you're letting evil go on and you're not protesting it in some form or shape in the name of Jesus, then you know what, my friends? You're just as evil. You're allowing it to happen. It's like sitting on your porch and there's a skateboard flipped upside down and some young man's coming on a bicycle and you don't get up and move that skateboard, you wait for him to hit it. And then you go inside while he's laying on the ground. Imagine that. You're just as guilty. That's malice. Christians aren't supposed to have malice. That's why there's so much violence in this world. Middle East. What about Middle America? How about Middle America? Heartland. What heartland? The moral majority. Hey, the moral majority spoke. We ended up with, look, who we ended up with for leaders. God gives a nation the leaders it deserves. And if the head is sick, the body's sick. That's why you as a Christian, you have authority and power in prayer. And the Bible says you're supposed to pray for your leaders, those who are leading us, that we should live in peace, morality. Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I know your burden tonight. I know your burden because everybody's got a burden. Turn that burden to Jesus Christ. Peter said, casting all your care upon him. I've said this before when I preached. Casting. Did you ever go fishing? If you don't fish, at least you've seen somebody fish, and they hold that pole back and they whip it forward and they cast that line way out there in the water. Farther it gets cast, the better it is. Oh, it's in deep water now. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, that's a good feeling. If you're a fisherman, you get that line way out there where you want it. Then he goes in. And that's what Jesus is telling you. Peter said, cast your care upon him. Throw that trouble you got in your life. Throw that money problem you got in your life. Throw that family problem you got in your life. Throw that automobile problem you got in your life. Throw that sickness you got in your life. Throw that oppression from your bosses you got in your life. Throw all that stuff to Jesus Christ and he'll carry it for you. Take his yoke upon you. You ain't got to carry this alone, brother. God wants to help you. You won't accept the help. You're like a prisoner who the warden walks in and says, son, you've been pardoned. You can leave. And he says, I don't want no pardon. I didn't earn it. What's wrong with you? You didn't earn your salvation, but God's got great gifts for you. Hallelujah. What in the world are you thinking of? Come on to me, all ye. Brother, that's you. Are you all? Yes, you're part of the all. Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. If you're not saved, God has a plan for your life and he cannot put it into effect. And if you're not saved, sure as and sure you're going to go to hell. I was on a radio broadcast this evening on another program, and people came on, and I was talking about salvation and about our country and the world situation. They were asking me, what do you instruct your people as a pastor? And somebody called in, and they said, what do you mean to be saved? They didn't even know what they needed to be saved from. Sin. Sin will send you to hell. Well, I'm not that bad of a person. Listen, you, my unsaved friend, I want you to know something. I want you to know something. I stood where you are, and I thought my good deeds and all my nice work was going to get me to heaven, and my giving money to charities and opening doors for old ladies and helping my neighbors and doing all these nice things. I thought that was going to get me to heaven, but it's not going to get me to heaven. Amen? It might make me a nice person, but it's not going to make me a nice person in the eyes of God, because all God's going to want to know when I get before him is, son, did you receive my son as your Lord and Savior? I sent him down there. He died on the cross for your sins. He already paid the price for your sins. He's pardoned you, and all you have to do is receive this pardon. That's what God's going to want to know. Did you receive my pardon? And if you're not under the blood of Jesus Christ and you're an unsaved person, you are on your way to hell. As sure. Listen, that's not a lie. That's the word of God. God loves you. He wants you to come to him. And he tells you tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. God wants to give you rest for your soul. Are you tired of running around? Are you tired of the life you've got? Are you tired of the booze? Are you tired of the drugs? Are you tired of that merry-go-round you can't get off? Well, you can get off of it. All you have to do is get on your knees and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I got some background here. Somebody needs to put their phone on mute. He's doing the paper shuffling. Hello?
Hello?
Somebody call in?
Hey, it's Brother Raymond.
Well, how are you, Brother Raymond? Amen.
Amen. You know, I guess you handed it to me. Now I handed it back to you. And now, sorry about that, brother. I just was in the middle of stuff. And sorry that, then my computer didn't start up. And, you know, I have my sermon notes. I'm a techie. Sermon notes and everything else is on my computer. So I did the
That's
best
okay,
I could.
Brother,
sorry
always,
that. Sorry,
we always
I
have a
guest
spot for you. No apology necessary.
I know.
Amen.
I understand. Amen, brother. And
you remember
know,
when
kind of,
we were young Christians and we used to sit and do the drills?
Yeah.
And we'd pull out the Bible and say, okay,
yeah,
1 minute, and somebody would pick a verse to us and hand us the Bible and we'd preach on it. Always
Amen.
Ready, always in season, ready to preach the Word of God. Amen. In season, out of season.
Amen.
So don't ever. Yes, sir.
Here's the thing is that, I was ready. I told your brother I don't really have anything prepared, but you know what? The ministry reconciliation is in my heart. It's been in my heart for a long time. And then I got to thinking about that the great white throne of judgment where the lost will be judged. And then I thought about the judgment seat of Christ, and I thought, wow. Think about this. You say you love your mother, your brother, your cousin. You say you love your neighbor. You say you love your boss. You say you love this person. You say you love that person. But yet you won't share Jesus Christ with that person. And at the great white throne, we're going to witness them going to hell. You know what Penn and Teller said? Penn and Teller are professed atheists. And they said, if we believed that there was a literal heaven and a hell, and there was a way for a person to save another soul from going to hell, well, I don't get Christians, because oftentimes they won't even speak. They won't speak about anything about Christ, because they're ashamed. Christ wasn't ashamed of us. We're sinners, sinners saved by grace, wicked. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, that our righteousness is filthy rags, that we put on his righteousness, that we're cleansed by his blood. He also said, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here's the thing, is most Christians say, oh, I'm not a preacher. Really? Because Jesus Christ gave you that commandment. He gave you the ministry of reconciliation. He gave you the Great Commission. You're commissioned. You are an ambassador for Christ, Paul says, and you have a commission. The commission is the ministry of reconciliation, to preach the gospel. How will they know if they have not heard? In Romans 9 and 10, we can read. Let me get there right now, and we'll talk a little bit about this. This is really heavy on my heart because you know me, brother. I am burdened for souls. I think all souls should go to heaven, and it's a shame because people think when they die, oh, we'll just see them in heaven. For what? It's kind of like saying, you know, we're all committing crimes, and hey, don't worry about it. We'll all see each other down at the park. Yeah, but we all just committed murder. How are we going to get down to the park? We're not getting down to the park. We're all going to prison because we're going to go before a judge, and the judge is going to send us to prison. He's not going to say, hey, you know what? Hey, you know, I'm looking at this thing, and since you committed this murder, you've been pretty good. You know,
amen.
In fact, I think I'm just going to let you go to the park. Why don't you all go to the park? Hey, heck, you guys really think you're good, so why not go to the park? No, you're a bunch of murderers. You're a bunch of liars. You're a bunch of sinners. And that's what God's going to say. God's going to tell you, you are sinners, and I'm sorry. Sin is an eternal thing because I am an eternal being, and it's an eternal offense, and you need an eternal pardon. You need a person who's able to sacrifice himself eternally to rid that sin. And we are placed in the body of Christ through the gospel, believing upon that gospel, and that's how we get into the body of Christ. And the body of Christ doesn't go to hell because Christ is righteous. The Bible says there's none, no, not one righteous, not one. Why callest thou me good, Jesus said? Because he's God, an eternal being. He came down there and he felt our infirmities. And let me tell you something. You think, hey, do you know what, brother? Do you know what the greatest commandment is? The greatest commandment is love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And the second, what's the second one? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And do you know what, brother? Let me tell you something. If you love yourself, you're going to make sure yourself is safe. You're going to make sure that yourself is fed, yourself is clothed, yourself is cleansed. And how can say you love your neighbor and you won't even tell them how to get cleansed, how to be safe, how to have salvation?
Hey, man. Hey, brother.
Penn and Teller said, hey, if there was a bomb on a plane, you would do, and you knew about it, you would risk your life to get on that tarmac and to be able to save those souls on that plane, but you won't save a soul from going to hell as a Christian?
Hey, brother.
Yes.
You know what? Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. It's an amazing thing that brethren are afraid to talk about the gospel. It's an amazing thing that people, Christians today, and that's why people are going to hell all around us. And
you know,
and
it's a shame, brother. I'm sorry to cut you off. Why don't you finish your thought? I apologize.
No, it's quite all right. I think that the problem we have today is that the world has made everything so very nice, everything so pleasant. Prisoners aren't in jails. They're in institutions. Parolees are not convicted criminals. They're clients. Everything's just made so nice in the world today, so politically correct, that people are going to walk right through the gates of hell, and they won't even know they're there until their nose is singed by the sulfur.
And you know what the biggest lie? You know what the biggest lie from the pit of hell is? I'm going to tell you this, brother. The world has made it so nice. Look at how we care. We care about the whales. We care about the environment. We care about this. We care about the third world countries. We care about feeding people. Jesus said you'll have the poor always with you. We care about this. We're humanists. We're philanthropists. We're this. We're that. Ah, we're doing all this good stuff. And guess what? Why would God allow this evil to happen in this world if he loved us? That's the lie. That's the lie right there. We're doing more than God would. We are God because we are doing the right thing or trying to do the right thing, saving the environment. We are doing the right thing trying to save the whales. We are doing the right thing by feeding the children of the third world. And don't get me wrong. We should feed people. We should have a burden to be able to share the physical things. Jesus Christ did, didn't he? When we share the physical things, we should share the spiritual things as well. You know why I'm doing this? I'm doing this because I love you, because Jesus Christ has put his mind in me. I have the mind of Christ. I have the desires of my heart. The desires of my heart the Lord gave to me. And that desire is the desire of the things of God. And the things of God is that no man should go to hell. No child should go to hell. No woman should go to hell. And you know how he's going to do that? In the nation of Israel with the oracles of God, and they were set aside because they refused. They became so self-righteous. They had 634 laws to follow that they couldn't even follow. And here's the thing. They refused to tell people what the right thing was. They refused to tell them the things of God. They were so hung up. Don't you put that kind next to those tomatoes. God doesn't want that. Don't you dare pick up that bed on the Sabbath day. God doesn't want that. Didn't tell anyone on how to get saved. So now the Gentiles comes in. We're grafted in for a time. Not that God doesn't love the nation of Israel, because that's still his chosen, the firstborn. But now the church has become the oracles of God. And we are responsible for the word of God. And we need to tell people about the word of God. And guess what? What's the word of God? Jesus Christ. And guess what God said? I will exalt my word above my name. Amen?
Amen.
And who's that? Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother. And, you know, people go through the world and they really think that by doing all these nice things, which they're supposed to do because they're Christians, but the world, the unsaved, you know, really think that, you know, these things are important that they're doing. And though some of them are important in certain ways, but it's not going to get them to heaven. And, you know, all these things. I mean, you spend thousands and thousands of dollars to prosecute a guy for running over a dog, and you wouldn't even feed a homeless guy. So,
it's true.
You know,
in fact, in Fort Lauderdale, they put somebody in Fort Lauderdale in prison for feeding the homeless. Imagine that.
Yeah. Didn't have a license for the food. Is that what it was, brother?
No, because they didn't want the homeless down there, so they decided if you fed it, it's going to foster this kind of behavior. And that, you know, Fort Lauderdale is really nice. And by the way, it's one of the homosexual capitals of the world.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Well, sin prevails in the world.
Right there. Don't feed the homeless. We used to have this sodomy thing on the books. You go to jail for sodomy. Whether it be between a man and a man, a woman and a woman,
Amen.
A husband and a wife.
Well,
but
I don't want to hold you down. It's 7:01. I've got to get off the air.
Okay.
But I'm gonna let you close us up, I want to thank the listening audience, and Raymond's going to tell you how to get right with God, how to get your soul saved, and how to avoid going to hell. And he's going to tell you that, and he's going to pray you out. And the Lord bless you, Brother Raymond. Thank you, Brother Nathan. We're going to turn this to Raymond. Go ahead, Raymond, please. I love you. God bless you, brother.
God bless. Okay, so according to Romans chapter 10, everybody turn there. You should see it. It says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's for the unbeliever. And now for the believer, just a little recap on the ministry of reconciliation in Romans 10:14, we see, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now I want to ask you, I read the Bible when I got myself into some criminal activities and was just a heinous man and just a man without a conscience, and laying on my back in 1996, and I was burdened. I was burdened in my heart. I had no clue what life was about. I did not understand the purpose of life. I could not understand the evil, the turmoil, the conflict, the strife, how that hypocrisy ruled the world, how that all of these things, I'd do anything, and it didn't bother me. What bothered me was the state of the world. And how was I to reconcile that within myself? And I sat back and I thought, wow, God, if you're really real, why not show yourself to me? Why not present yourself to me? I challenged God. I challenged him with a pure heart, a pure prayer. Job even talked about a pure prayer and all the troubles that he went through. Eliphaz, where, you know, he was talking about praying to God. He said, listen, I'm praying to God, and I believe that my prayers are pure. And if you pray with a pure heart, God, show yourself to me. Show me who you are. God will come to you, and all you have to do is repent. Acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you're accountable for sinning against God, our Creator. The Bible says that God put man in the Garden of Eden to dress it. And do you know what dressing is? It is like putting dressing on a salad, putting dressing inside of a turkey. It is something that will help to to beautify it or to enhance. I guess the phrase would be putting the icing on the cake. And all you have to do with repentant heart is confess that you are a sinner. Ask Jesus now, Lord, show yourself to me, for I am a wretched sinner. I repent from my sin, and I ask Jesus Christ right now, Lord, this day, would you come into my heart and save me? And the Lord will show himself to you. Is there anyone out there like that? Is there anyone who is burdened by the sin, by the things of this world, the things that just don't make sense? Are you burdened that you lie? Are you burdened that you steal? Are you burdened because you commit adultery? Jesus said that all those things, the greatest commandment is not loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul. In Romans, we find out is that all you have to do is to confess with your heart, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I ask, please, oh, please, anyone out there, just please bow your head, get on your knees, ask the Lord to come into your heart to forgive your sins. And right this day, on this day, right this day, this is the most important day of your life. My new birth. Nicodemus asked Jesus Christ, what shall I do? He said, you must be born again for you to seek the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must have a spiritual birth. The Bible also says that we're freed from the second death. So there's a physical death and a spiritual death. The Bible says that Jesus overcame the grave. He overcame death. He was given victory to those things. So I ask anyone out there, anyone, if you feel that this is yours, just ask this. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you have come down onto this earth to save me from my sins. Lord God, I ask that you would just forgive me. Forgive me for sinning against you. I ask right now, Lord, that you would come into my heart, that you would forgive my sins, that I am of a repentant heart, Lord, that I will turn my heart toward you and desire the things of you, Lord, if you would only save me now, Lord. And I just pray this in the name of Jesus. Has any one of you prayed that? I would love to hear that you did. Please, this is not a... Death is the ultimate alarm clock. You can't wait. We don't know how long we're going to be on this earth. I could turn around right now and die. But I know this. I know that I am safe. I am part of the body of Christ, that Christ died for my sins, and that God loves me. And one day, as he said to Jesus, my earnest prayer is, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And it doesn't mean that we're going to have a peaceful life, that everything is going to be honky-dory. Because it's not. We're still in this world. We still live in this flesh. But the thing is that we will have a renewed thinking, a renewed spirit and a soul that is cut from the flesh, that has been cleansed in the blood. And we will have peace. We will have the peace of God, and we will have peace with God. We can come to God's throne, and we can talk to him. We have a mediator, Jesus Christ, who pleads our case. He felt every infirmity that we have felt. And I suggest this. I suggest, first of all, read the book of John from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the last verse. And after that, read the book of Romans and continue reading until you get to the book of Philemon. And read and read and read and pray. Get on your knees daily. Get in that word daily. Jesus said that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He said that those that worship God must worship in the spirit. We can't worship God without the words of Jesus. And we know that in John 1:1, the word in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And in John 1:14, we read that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we also read in Timothy that without controversy. Hold on, let me go there to that verse. I lost my thought. 2 Timothy 3:16. If somebody will turn there with me. You know, we don't know how long the Lord will tarry. We need, it's just, I'm sorry, it's 1 Timothy. Hold on, I'm turning there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In verse, chapter 3 rather, I'm so sorry. Verse 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the gospels, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior today? I pray you have. And like I said, please drop Brother Nathan a line. I believe that Brother Nathan has Brother Ventura's email. I also have an email that you can contact me. It's av1611ministries@gmail.com. That's A as in Apple, V as in Ventura, 1611ministries@gmail.com. Let me know that you've come to the Lord today. And if there's any prayer that I could give and I can offer, I will. If there's any questions that I can help you with the scriptures, I will help you. Only allow the Lord to work in your life. Understand that the Lord is in control of all of this. He allows things to occur, or he makes things occur. And trials and tribulations, yes, we'll have several. We'll have them all the time. But trials and tribulations work with experience and patience and hope. And do you know what that hope is? You know, I look around the world, and the world is not. I look in the eyes, and the eyes are empty. Eyes of people are empty, and there's no hope, and there's despair, and there's all of this stuff. And such was I. Such was I. And I found the Lord. And yes, I've fallen, just like many of the great men and women in the Bible have fallen. But the thing is that the Lord will pick you up. The Lord will give you mercy and long-suffering. He'll extend that to you. He has loving kindness. He's meek. Oh, we have a great God. We have such a great God, and the world would have you to believe that he's responsible for all the evil of the world. But he isn't. He isn't. And here's the thing that gets me all the time. And I'll tell you what, I still fall. I still have my faults. I pray to God, I've betrayed my wife. And I pray to God that for reconciliation because she is my Eve. She is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. And God has answered my prayers. And this woman is such an amazing woman. She is so beautiful, just warm and compassionate. And she's, even though she says she's not as mature in Christ as I am, but she has some spiritual wisdom sometimes that just knocks me off my socks, or knocks me out of my socks, rather. And I realize, and it speaks to my soul, and I realize, wow, those are words of Christ. Those are words of God. Those are eternal words. Those are words that fix and heal and mend. Those are words that are bound. And I think, what a great God we serve. What an awesome, mighty God who is worthy to be praised. And I praise him every single day. I don't have much, but I have God. I have Jesus as my Savior. I have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I have the Word of God. I know the deep and rich things of God. And it all started with Jesus Christ. And there was a time in my life that I could not get enough of this Bible. This Bible was just my being. And it still is to this day. There's nothing that you can't answer from this Bible. You don't need psychiatrists and psychologists and humanists and sociologists and all these things to tell you what's wrong with you. This Bible will answer everything. Everything that you seek, this word, and it will resolve all of your life's questions, all of your doubts, all of them. You may have some doubts and discouragements from time to time because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It fights against the Spirit. Even Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, a saved sinner that he was, a mighty man for God, wrote the books from Romans to Philemon and Hebrews. But he still called himself a wretched man because he realized his state. But his standing before God was righteousness in Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, in Titus 2:13, we read, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And that is not present in the world. When you look at people's eyes and you see the despair, you see the loss, you just, it's amazing what the Spirit, it hurts, it burdens my heart. I wish I could just reach in and just implant the Word of God inside of that heart. And you Christians, please pray. Pray that the Lord would tarry, that we could save souls, that we could reap souls for His glory. That they would break up the fallow ground in the heart and have fertile soil, that the Word of God would take root and grow in righteousness. Now I'm going to close with the reading of these last verses. Peter mentioned this in the beginning of what he had to say today, his little talk, his sermon, I guess, sermonette. Not quite sure how to classify it. This is kind of an open thing here. But it says in Matthew 11:28-29, and when I read these verses for the first time, it felt like a ton of bricks just was lifted from my chest. And it said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And you know what? When you receive Christ, and if you have an unrest in your soul, it's because something, you are not submitting to Christ. You are not submitting to the Word. You're not submitting to your husband. You're not submitting to your wife. You're not submitting to the pastor. You're not submitting to your brother. You're not submitting to your neighbor. You have a submission problem, and that's what happened to me. I had a submission problem, and the Lord let me go along and do the things that I was going to do, and he put me in prison for 10 years. And I submitted. I submitted. I had no choice but to submit. And somewhere along the line in the last few months, I lost that sight. But here's the thing, just like the prodigal son who wasted all of his spoils. He told his father, hey, give me my inheritance now. And he went out and he partied and he did all this other stuff. And he ended up with the swine eating corn husks. And to a Jew, in the pit with the swine is the lowest thing you could be. It's the lowest, it's the most unclean thing that you could possibly be. But he comes home, and with open arms, the father is ready to see him. And the son, his son who stood by his father and did the things that his father would like, had this resentment and anger and all these things in his heart. Read the prodigal son. There's so much to glean from that, so much to learn from that. It is human nature in a nutshell. But the father looked and he said, oh, my son has returned. And he told his servants, get the fatted calf, the best fatted calf, get the best garments, get him a ring. And he gave him all these things and received it. My son is home. My son is home. He told everybody, the repentant son is home. And that goes against what we believe as a human being. The other son, his brother, wanted to see him persecuted, wanted to see him punished, wanted to see him hurt. That's a picture of God the Father receiving a sinner. The other guy, well, that's a self-righteous Christian who forgot that they too should be judged. They too are worthy of the penalty of hell. But God our Father will embrace you and give you the fatted calf and give you the best garments and give you the ring. And he will receive you with his arms and he will hug you and he will let you know, you are my son. I love you. The world can't offer any of that. And I want to talk about that yoke. And I heard a preacher preach this one time. He talked about the yoke. He was down in Mexico and he talked to the farmer. He said, hey, what's the deal with that yoke? He said, I'm going to tell you something. There's a strong animal and there's a weak animal in that yoke. And that animal that's strong, he's pulling the plow. He's doing all of the work. The other animal is walking along, doing nothing. Nothing. And that's powerful when we read, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And you think about that yoke and you see the oxen, the yoke of the oxen, and you see it's this big wooden contraption pulling this big heavy plow. And you say, wow, why do I want to get in that yoke? It seems like it's just burdensome. What a revelation when that preacher talked about that yoke and how the strong animal does the work and the weaker animal walks along. He's actually having that rest, and that's what Jesus Christ is talking about. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You're resting because Jesus Christ is doing it for us. Allow Jesus to do it for you. He does it for me. Even though I fail daily sometimes, sometimes not. Sometimes I'm victorious. Sometimes I fail and I let people down. I let God down. God, I let Jesus down, who went to the cross, didn't even know me, went to the cross for me, shed his blood for me, and he's guilty of no offense, the only righteous man on this earth. please take what I say to consideration, and with a pure heart and a pure prayer, ask God, if you are true, reveal yourself to me. And I pray that a minister of God will come unto you and preach the gospel to you, and you will receive it. For Paul said, one man watereth, one man planteth, one man watereth, and God gives the increase. Have your eyes of understanding enlightened through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. I am so sorry, Lord, for not being faithful and diligent about the time and being late and having this commitment and just things gotten in the way. And, Lord, I thank you for my brother who was right there to just step right back in, even though I was covering for him and then he covered for me. But, Lord, I praise you, Lord. I thank you for that brother, for he's always been faithful to me. He's always been an encouragement to me. Yes, Lord, we do fight, we do bicker, but you know what? We're brothers, and that's what brothers do. But we lift each other up, and we edify each other. Iron sharpens iron, Lord, and I thank you for sending that man into my life, who's always, no matter what, has always shown himself to be a faithful steward unto you, Lord God. And I unto him. And Lord, I thank you for my wife, Nicole. And I thank you for the lovely daughter that you've given to me, Kiara. And I thank you for that family. For I've never had a family, but I have a family now. And I am the family, your family. And I thank you for just giving me another day to just do it again. And to serve you, Lord, and to preach this gospel, Lord, to have this burden that you've given unto me, Lord God. And I ask that you would just touch some heart today, Lord, that you would reconcile somebody to you today, Lord, for your honor, for your glory. I just pray for Peter's family, for they're going under this construction, and I know things are very stressful and just other things are occurring in their lives. And I ask that you would touch their hearts and comfort their hearts. And that somebody would come and minister unto them, for they minister unto others. And that they would be comforted from that, Lord God. And I pray this for my daughter and for my wife and even for my wife's mother, that you would just comfort all of them for some of the pain that I have caused, for some of the failings that I have committed, Lord. And I ask that you just forgive me and you help me and you work in my heart, Lord God, that I could be that Christian man that I once was for you, God, and fulfill the ministry that you have given to me, Lord, and be the Christian man, the spiritual head of my family once again, Lord, and that reconciliation just occurs, Lord, and that when people look upon us, they would know that we're a good, godly Christian family who cares about our neighbors, who loves our neighbors as ourselves, who loves the Lord God with all our hearts and minds and souls, Lord. And I pray for Nathan and his. I pray that you comfort them and you edify them, that you just continue to work in his heart, that he continues to be the faithful steward that he is of your word, and all the things that you do. And, Lord, I pray that people come and minister unto him and comfort him, Lord, and lift him up, Lord, and serve for him, Lord, because we know that this is a walk of service, Lord God. And I pray for all those lost souls today that they would just be one to Christ. Somebody, somewhere would speak to them the gospel, would preach it to them, that the Lord has died on the cross and shed his blood, that he was buried for 3 days, and that you raised him from the dead. And Lord, if there's somebody contemplating this in their heart, and they've yet to acknowledge that Christ is their Savior, Lord, prick their hearts, Lord God. Prick their hearts. Reap that soul, Lord God. Tarry until that soul is saved, Lord God. And I just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Are there any callers? Brother Nathan, you there?
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I lay.
No, we don't have any callers.
Okay.
Just in the chat room.
All right. Any comments on anything?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Yeah? Awesome.
I love the time. Yeah. Oh, everybody be listening at it. Between 9, son.
All right.
All right.
Okay, brother. I'm going to sign off. So,
all right.
You have a blessed night.
You too. God bless all
of you. All right. Thank you. My Lord bless. Bye.
Good night.
Your love.